Okay. We're at Faith Bible Church. It's 10-6, I believe, 2013. We're at Adult Sunday School. And I'm going to open up in prayer. And we're going to be, I'll be teaching out of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And the name of the message is going to be Zapped. You say, where'd you get that? You'll see what I'm talking about with my first illustration. After I open up in prayer, my beautiful wife's going to bless us, be available for the Lord, lift us up in a song of worship to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your grace. We wouldn't have a prayer, Father, if not for your grace in Christ by his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit the moment we believed, for blessing us with every spiritual blessing, that we don't got to run to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we know we're complete in Christ. I pray your Holy Spirit be the real teacher here, God. I just offer my availability, Lord, and offer my body to you to express your truth through. May your Holy Spirit illumine every mind, touch our hearts, Father, ignite our wills. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here's Mary. She's going to sing a song.
Was that eel water?
No. You drank it? It's probably a week old water.
Hi. There's a glass of water in there and I drank it and it was a week old.
That week?
I thought it was dead. Okay, good morning. Paul asked me to do this song, so I'm going to do this song.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here. He is able. And sometimes you go through things, and this song really ministers to my heart when I'm going through something. And I know we all go through things one day at a time. So I really like this song. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream.
Amen.
He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He is able. And he can do more exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. Anything we can imagine. And how? By Christ in us, resurrection power. I hope you stay for church. I'm going to be actually preaching on prayer. So it kind of goes hand in hand. So the message I'm going to preach, let me give you a little illustration first. Sorry, I ain't got no jokes yet, like the pastor, but as I go, sometimes they pop out. But legalism, do you know what legalism means? the term because it's thrown around a lot. The idea is what you can perform in your flesh, or the law calls for the flesh to perform. The only problem is it can't. It can't do what the law calls for. But the flesh, remember Israel, when Moses was going to give them the commandments, they agreed, we'll do it. See, the flesh thinks it can make itself right and acceptable to God. That's legalism. So no matter what it is, whether you're coming under the Ten Commandments of law or your own legalism, because sometimes we put on ourselves performance standards. And so a good illustration, I always snatch them. This is not original. It's from Malcolm Smith. He's a charismatic, very conservative, but he understands life in Christ. And when you got that, you got to step in the right direction. He said he was watching, he was out in nature, and I guess he's by a little pond, and he's watching a little frog. And the frog's sitting there, and as he's watching him, the frog collapsed. Just like a balloon, that air was let out of it. And he like couldn't believe his eyes. And then he saw there was this beetle that stuck its beak in the frog and sucked out the insides from the frog. And he said that's a perfect picture of legalism. It sucks all of your spiritual strength. Because when you get in the flesh to trying to please God, to live the Christian life in your own strength, you get burnt out. It's called spiritual burnout. So that's what we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. And maybe I'll start out and go to Galatians chapter 3. Because Paul deals with legalism in the book of Galatians. 3 verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. That word foolish has the idea of mindless. Not using your minds. You're not thinking. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What do you think of when you think of bewitched? Probably the TV show, right? Bewitched. Yeah. The idea is you've been deceived. You've had a spell cast over your mind, if you want. Someone came in and what? Do you think they didn't sound like a believer? You think of Christian TV. Jesus is Lord up on the thing. But listen to what they teach, and they're very subtle with philosophies of men, and they think that godliness is a means to financial gain or empowerment. You got to seek this and seek that, this wave of the Spirit. That's what I'm doing on Thursday nights. Hopefully you got an invite to come out on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the dispensation of grace. So we know what is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So when you got the real thing, what? You don't get fooled by the fake. You know how what they do with people who deal with money? They teach them what's really on the real dollar bill. They know it by touch. They know it by looking at it. They know it the original. So when something, and they know it's so good, when something comes that's a counterfeit, they could feel it. They could touch it. We got to know the Word of God so much and rightly divided that when we hear a counterfeit, bam, it goes up. Our spiritual antennas go up. And so he says, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So what? They were turning away from the truth. Paul gave them the truth of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, of the grace of God. And they were turning away, not obeying it. Wherefore, whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul gave them in his teaching a verbal portrait. I think my wife could appreciate this. She's an artist. And it was so clear that it's in Christ you're justified through his death, burial, and resurrection. That it's him that empowers you. Christ within now. You're complete in Christ. You don't lack anything. I'm thinking about it. We're so blessed. You're blessed today. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You're complete. You don't lack anything. You ain't a red-headed stepchild with buck teeth and pimples that God says, stand back here while I move in all these other people's lives. We're blessed. We're rich. You know, we think of, oh man, I wish I won the lottery. My stepson Jacob has said that a lot, man. You know. And we think of Howard Hughes and all these men with so much money. But you know what? The flesh is never satisfied. When they asked, I believe it was Rockefeller, how much is enough? Now that guy had what? Probably a billion more. Millions anyway, on top of million. And he said, just a little bit more. See, it's never satisfied. And money can buy you things, but then things can be taken away. I know I had a business. It's gone. But what you have in Christ is the only constant in life. You're holy without blemish, perfect in His sight. You're complete, unconditionally loved, accepted. Your life has significance. Then sometime, what are we doing? Yeah, I don't have this, and I got this. And we're focusing on so many negatives instead of, you know, as you'll never be depressed if you're thankful. This is God's what? Will, that we give thanks in all things, right? And when you know what you have, you're not going to have somebody cut in on you and leave you on the side of the road, squashed. Paul says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. How did you receive the Spirit? What does this say in Ephesians 1? Ephesians 1, 17 or 13 or 14. But it says, when you believed the truth of the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So, was it a work? Did you do something? It said we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? So faith is not a work. Faith is... But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I got faith. There's a lot of faiths in the world, ain't there? People have faith in Buddha. They have faith in Muhammad. They have faith. Their car will start when you get out there. If you've been to AA, you could have faith in the doorknob as your higher power. See, it's not the faith. Faith needs an object. The object of the believer's faith is what? Christ. Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this question demands a certain answer. You receive the Spirit by what? Just faith. I trust somebody shared with me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? And I believed when I heard that I recognize I'm a sinner, there was no problem for me, and Christ died for my sins, and you trust that. And Christ came and dwelt me and made me complete, and every single person here that's trusted in that. And let me tell you something, I can believe, all the doctrines, you know, say that in the church, what do they call that, which church stands for, I believe Jesus died. I believe He was a carpenter. I believe in right division. But see, believing and having faith is two different things. You can be brought up in church, but God ain't got no grandkids. Did you ever see that in the Bible? God ain't got no grandkids. He's got children. So until we realize not just all these things are facts, I trust that He did it for me, then God identifies me in Him and Him in me. So sometimes the hardest people probably, maybe to get to are people that grew up in church because they know all the church T's, if you want. But it's when you trust. So he says, again, are you so foolish? You got to look at Paul here and see. Paul's a Jew. They're very expressive. You think he just says, he's very upset about this. He's worried about them. He's concerned about them. Because they were growing. They were in love with the grace of God. They understood grace. And all of a sudden, Satan's very subtle, boy. Like a snake. He comes through, he works his best through what? Religion. The pulpit. Are you so foolish? I'm sorry. In verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet is in vain. Now when Paul's saying this, are you so foolish? He can't believe this. And actually, I used to be a pastor for a couple of years. And when we ended the church, some people went back to this legalistic church that we had come out of. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how, after understanding grace, you've been freed to serve now. You're rejoicing. You understand the empowerment of the Holy Spirit by grace. And then you're going to go back and tell them to put chains on me, lock me up again. I could. It just freaks me out how someone could do that. And Paul, when he's saying this, are you so foolish, idiotic, mindless, not using your head? How could you let somebody just cut in and turn you away from grace? Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you by the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, it demands an answer, of course, the hearing of faith, right? So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. So we understand grace. But you know what happens sometimes? You get beat down. I don't know if any of you go on Facebook, but boy, you share truth on there, and you'll get some feedback. You know, there's one lady, keep her in prayer, her name's Alana, and she just loves the Lord, and she's sharing about right division, about the grace of God, the love of God, empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and man, people just attack her, and she just gets beat down sometimes, you know. Expect it, you know. But it's worth it, because your life, our individual lives, as we're sharing, and we need to do it in love, not hit them over the head and rightly divide, boom, or I'll punch you. You know, you need to believe it because I believe it. Our church believes it. No. Show them in the Word of God and do it out of love because you've got concern. See, if it ain't about love, it doesn't mean none. If everything ain't motivated by love, because that's the only thing that counts with God, is faith expressing itself or working through love. And that's why we reach out to unbelievers, to reach out, because we know they're on their way to hell. They're not only that, their lives are empty now, and they're being controlled by sin nature, and Satan works through the sin nature, and you know where they're going. So we want to care more, and we need to pray for that. God, fill my heart with your love for them, that I'll care more for them than what they think about me. And many times, I mentioned this Thursday night, we look at temptation or trials and tribulation in a negative way. It's like, we don't want to go through them, and I don't want to go through them. But actually, it's something, as God allows us to go through things, that's when you take what you've been studying, apply it to the details of that situation in your life, and you find out, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a blessing, because now I get to see God really strengthening me, working in this situation and working it for my good. Now you got some experience. Now you got character, that some spiritual backbone. But if you don't go through nothing, how are you going to learn? Then it's just a bunch of facts I got. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. What's the idea of liberty? Freedom. Right? Stand fast in that freedom. You have freedom in grace. But as we'll see, you know, because some people confuse when, you know, we think of freedom, well, freedom, we can do whatever we want. Well, that's true. Because when you understand grace, I want to serve God. I want to do the things that His will in my life wants me to do. I want to serve God. I want to be used by God. I want to know God better, more intimately. That's that freedom to serve. But some people get the wrong idea because of flesh. Because when you tell people what? You've been forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. What's the first carnal thing that they think of? I believe the pastor mentioned it last week. Are you saying that I can just go kill somebody? Well, I didn't say that. Do you want to kill somebody? And are you just not doing it because you're afraid God will get you? Legalism? No, grace doesn't teach. Grace teaches us what? To say no, see, to the negative, to unrighteousness, and what? Yes, to godliness. What's godliness mean? Godlikeness. As dearly loved children, imitate God. That He's a God of love, right? You're dearly loved, so He wants to love through us. And he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, they were bringing in, you think they weren't saying that, turn away, you think they were saying turn away from Jesus? No. They were saying, oh, we're the real followers of Jesus. See, nowadays, you got to sort of put yourself into the situation if you want, and then bring it into but now, as Paul says. Nowadays, it would be not getting circumcised. Somebody might tell you, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Or you need to speak in tongues. See, that's not complete. It's something they're adding to the gospel. They're adding to the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So they would say, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus. Of course. We're following Jesus. We're the real followers. But you got to get circumcised. You got to keep the law. You got to perform. You got to pray for an hour in the morning. You got to study for an hour in the morning. You got to come to church every night. Twice on Sundays. Now, are them bad things? No. But see, when you're told you got to do this to make yourself right with God, to have the spirit, to be spiritual, and it's all performing and things you can do. You know why they do all these, what you call, they would call holiness? You know, you got the holiness churches. You know why they call them full gospel churches? Because they're full of legalism. It's not full of good news. You got to dress this way, and you got to look this way, and you can't go swimming. Oh, you know what that would lead to. You can't drink. Where Scripture says, don't get drunk on wine, which is an excess. Didn't say you couldn't drink. But if you got a problem with it, you should probably stay away from it. And so they're saying you got to do adding to the cross. Always be careful, because it's a very subtle message. And as Paul will say, a little yeast works through the whole loaf, right? Whether it's in a church or whether it's in your individual life. Watch what you're listening to. And I wouldn't say don't listen to anybody else on the radio or TV if they're sound. Nobody's got it all. But like that clock on the wall, if it was broke, it's right twice a day, but I wouldn't use it. I go to work or to keep appointments. Some ministries are so off that I wouldn't even turn them on. But then some, like Bob George, he's not a mid-Acts dispensationalist, but I learned so much through him about my identity in Christ, about law and grace, complete forgiveness. You know, if God had to use somebody who knew everything, that garbage teaching were little gods, there'd have to be a bunch of little gods that knows everything. Will Rogers says, be patient. We're all ignorant just about different things. You know, God can use someone with an attitude of gratitude that says, here I am, Lord, I ain't much. He can use that kind of person more than somebody who's got all their P's and Q's dotted, all the doctrines right. But now when you get somebody who has doctrine with attitude, you got something going on. And I believe that pleases God. Though when we realize what pleases Him, when we're available, our response, what's our responsibility? Our response to His ability. See, He produced, it is God who works in you what? Both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. It's God who does it. But there's sort of like a balance to it. We make choices, right? We can't, Paul said it's no longer I who lives. He didn't try in his own strength to live this Christian life. He said, I live, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? The life I live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith, what? Dependence. Total dependence on Christ. But when you get under legalism, let's see what happens. But I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. See, because that had to do with Israel's program. Circumcision, keeping the law. Actually, water baptism. That was all Israel's program. But Paul says that about teachers that teach the law today, that were under the law, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're teaching. He said the law is not made for a righteous person. What is the believer? Justified, declared righteous. It's a line for us. All the law can do is point out sin. See, as a believer, you get yourself back under law, what's it going to do? Show you your sins. It's going to condemn you. That's what the law does. It's not bad. Paul said it's good. It's spiritual. It's holy. But when it flows through a person with a sinful nature, it fans the flames of the flesh. Paul said the power of sin is in the law. You wonder why the church is not so effective today out there? Because a lot of it is being taught legalism or under the law. The problem is, you got to keep it all. See, the law, Paul said what in Galatians also? It was our teacher, our tutor, right? The law was supposed to teach us something. That we were sinners in need of a Savior. It says, once you come to faith, you're no longer under the teacher. You don't need it. It got you to where it's supposed to go. Paul said the law is for the unrighteous. So if we have to keep that in mind. Because you know how many people in our families we want to see get saved. Well, if you don't, I think maybe you need to hear the gospel all over again. If you don't have a desire to see somebody, I can see a believer falling into sin. Because that's why Paul tells us, don't, because we can. But a true believer, and they can stay in it for a while. I know from my earlier Christian life, he would have said I wasn't a believer. But he can never enjoy it. There's that conviction, because if the Holy Spirit's there, he's going to convict you. And you're going to miss the joy and the peace. But if somebody can get out there and just live a lifestyle of sin, and it don't even bother them, and they say, yeah, I'm under grace, I don't believe that person's saved.
Amen.
Because if some ain't there, the Holy Spirit's in us, convicting us usually through the Word of God.
Amen.
And so he says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect. You know what that word can be interpreted? Inactive. Christ has become of no effect on you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. And the idea is, no one's justified by law, right? You're attempting to be justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. As a believer, if we listen to some teaching, and it's very subtle, like I said, and they'll separate the law, you know, and, you know, I can see to understand it. The law is one unit. Because they'll say, well, you know, we're not under the ceremonial laws, and we're not under the governmental laws, but we are under the Ten Commandments. You can't separate them from the Ten Commandments. They're all based upon the Ten Commandments. Yet I will say, we are not under any of the law. We are under grace. But under grace, do you know Paul repeats 9 of the commandments? Doesn't he say to respect your mother and father? Doesn't love do that? Love doesn't make you want to kill anybody. If anything, it makes me want to share with them so they can get life. And to know life abundantly. So we want to share with unbelievers. You share the law with them. Mary's mother is funny, man. She's the cutest little lady. And she's Catholic, you know. Been raised Catholic. And their idea is, like guy at work I was talking to the other day, that, we don't really study the Bible. The priest tells us like what it says. And I says, yeah, but like my old pastor says, what if the person teaching you is on their way to hell and you follow right behind them? And Mary's mother, because you give the unsaved, now, I don't know if she's trusting in Christ, because you could be in the Catholic Church, I believe this, and hear Christ died for your sins from the Word, and trust in that, and be saved. But now you're under this legalistic system of man-made philosophies and traditions, so you're not gonna grow. I believe there are saved people in the Catholic Church. Remember Bernardo was here, the missionary? And he said that actually, some of them started coming to his Bible study and they were getting saved and they went back in their church and sharing it, and the priest don't like it. See, when you're freed, pastors can't control you. See, because I serve God. out of this word, rightly divided. And I know what God's will is because I study it. And the Holy Spirit, I depend on Him to give me illumination. And so pastors, legalists don't like it. They can't control you no more. They can't use fear. They can't use manipulation. And then guess what? They can't manipulate you for some cash. They just steal them from God. You know, under Paul tells us to give with a cheerful heart, right? See, grace teaches us to do the right things, but it's your motivation under law, what? It's fear. I got to forgive or God won't forgive me. See, and Christ taught that, didn't He? When? Before the cross. Before, Paul tells us the law was nailed to the cross. It was a system, the law is a system of conditional blessings. If you do these things, God said to the nation Israel, I'll bless you. If you don't, you're in trouble, buddy. I'll curse you. You're in trouble, buddy, ain't in the word, but I'm just giving Paul's paraphrase, I guess. That's law. Grace says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Because of this, in view of God's mercy, you offer your body to God. And you won't do a lot of things. You know why? Because you want to be a witness. You want to be a light in a dark world. And you want people, believers, who don't understand to rightly divide the word, you want to be used of God to help them to see so they can get freed and we can serve God in love. And you do it with the joy. See, the law will break your back. The law will weigh you down. See, whether it's grace or whether it's law, what's the goal? Come on, anybody? What's the goal of law? Obedience, right? What's the goal of grace? Obedience. But one, I'm trying in my own strength. I got I got a book, it's beautiful, with this guy just falling on the ground with the Ten Commandments breaking his back. And you're trying, you're weighed down, but there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no spiritual energy, because it's all in your energy, your flesh. You ever hear somebody say, I tried Christianity? I've heard people say that. No, you didn't try Christianity. You tried legalism. And you know the best you can become as a legalist? A Pharisee. Somebody who would nail Christ to the cross because He denied your traditions. That's the best you could be. Self-righteous. You know, like if I got to do all these things, then what when I see you? Did you do your Bible study this morning? For an hour? Oh, you did an hour? I did an hour and a half. See? How long did you pray? Did you do your quiet time? How many doors have you knocked on? You know, Bob George used to talk about the phantom Christian. And it's because so much teaching, and they think holiness is outward. Holiness starts inward, and it's expressed outward. God works in our attitudes. He changes our, transforms our thinking and works on our attitudes. And then there is outward change. See, legalism says clean up out here. Look good for our church. Look good for our teaching. But God starts in here. And it's motivated all by love. Now I'm trying to think the illustration. The phantom Christian. You know, we have this idea. And especially if you're a new believer or whatever, and you don't know much about. When I got saved, I didn't know much. I know one thing, nobody had to tell me to quit getting high. The Holy Spirit in me filled me with joy and peace. And I'm like, I don't need that anymore. I found life. And then you're the Jesus freak. Oh, that Paul just... I was sharing everybody, hey, Jesus died for you, man. I got joy. I said, are you happy? They go, what are you talking about? I said, no, are you really? I'm happy. I got Jesus, you know. And they're looking at you, but they also see that reality of resurrected Christ in you. But, so I keep losing my track. What was I just saying about George? Oh, the illustration of, I wish I could back up the tape. That's all right. He'll come to me. Oh, the phantom Christian. Anybody got any ginkgo biloba? That's good for your memory. there's this idea in our minds, and it's placed in it by religious leaders. The phantom Christian is somebody who gets up in the morning and studies the Bible for 3 hours, and that ain't a bad idea. I get up early in the morning and do it. And then he prays for another 2 hours. Then he don't drive to work, he takes a bus, because he leads 5 people to the Lord on the bus. And then at work, he's the best worker in the whole place. And on the way home, he leads 3 more people to the Lord. Then he fasts for a year at a time. You know what I'm saying? And this is taught, perpetuated, much, maybe that's an exaggeration, much in churches today. Now, all them things ain't bad things. Sharing, right? Reading the Word, prayer, relationship. I'm going to talk about that at a church, preach on it. That's a phantom Christian. Nobody, I don't care how matured you are, lives perfectly. It's not, you know, being filled with the Spirit. Doesn't Paul tell us to be, don't be drunk on wine, which is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit? That's a command. And it's minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour, day by day, month by month. The total dependence, focus on Christ. And sometimes we ain't, right? Let somebody do something to you. Go do something. And you watch your attention get... You know, last week I got taken in a scam on the internet. It was... Usually I'm pretty hip. I'm from the hood, you know. So a lot of time you're not going to get over on me. But they were slick. And the idea was for... They could pay you $400 a week to wrap your car in advertising. It was supposed to be American Express. And so you didn't have to give your social security number. You know, it's just... I got a check in the mail, $2,000. And I'm like, where'd that come from? I forgot all about it. Then they text me, did you get the check? Blah, blah, blah. So I put it in. So I'm thinking, let me see if this is real. It clears. So I take it out. I take $1,500. We pay our rent, and my brakes needed done in this something else on the front of my car. Well, that money's gone, and then all of a sudden it don't clear. Now I'm stressing the next day at work. I'm thinking, now am I going to get a problem going to jail? You know, I don't know what happens with this. And now they want me to pay it back, but it's not going to be a jail problem. But at work, my mind is not focused. I'm being anxious. Right? And then what do? Lord, you said, don't be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. And what happens then? The peace of, see, you got your focus back. Then I was walking in spirit. And then I'm singing at work as I'm doing this job that ain't no fun, but I'm praising the Lord, thanking Him I got a job. I'm thanking Him for my church. I understand I can go to a place where they teach grace for all the believers in my life and just everything, my wife, even for my stepsons. That's called the sacrifice of praise. So praise God. But that's what we have to do in the details as we go through things. Satan don't care what you got your mind on. You could have your mind on ministry as long as it ain't on Christ. Keep it on Christ and your life will be a ministry. See, never, my old pastor said, never separate your ministry and your life. Because as we make ourselves available, present ourselves to the Lord, He's going to minister through us. If you've got that attitude of gratitude, He'll give you boldness. He'll fill your heart with love to share. He'll fill your heart with the desire, a love for His Word, to grasp His grace, to understand the principles in God's Word, how to walk in the Spirit, that we glorify Christ. But you see, in verse 4, when you add something besides Christ, Bob George used to call it Billy Goat Christianity. Oh yeah, it's Christ, but. Oh, but. Boom. You know, Billy Goats, they keep budding. And here's what happens. When you don't just depend on Christ and walk under grace, Christ has become of no effect. He's inactive. He's not going to work through our flesh. Those in the flesh, whether they're unsaved, will never be in the flesh again. But we can walk in the flesh. And Christ will not, even in ministry, if I get up here thinking I'm this gifted teacher, whatever, and I see, Christ says, go ahead. I'd be chilling back over here. Go ahead. Let me see what you got. And I'll fall flat on my face. And you can even, there's wonderful speakers, right? I heard eloquent people on the radio. But you won't be of no effect. Christ won't be doing it through you. It won't have eternal value. It's got to be Christ in you. And so if we want Christ to be effective in our lives, watch for the legalism. Christ has become of no effect on you whosoever are justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. And he says, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I take that the rapture. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. It don't mean anything, nor uncircumcision. But what counts with God? But faith which worketh by love. And that idea, work is expressing itself through love. That's what counts with God. You got to be right in the faith, right? You got to rightly divide the word. You got to know all the doctrines. But then it's got to be motivated by love. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? If it ain't love, just a clanging cymbal, a loud noise, it gets on people's nerves. You'll get on unbelievers' nerves. But you know, unbelievers, a lot of times, they might feel convicted being around you, but they want to know a little bit more. You ever notice the ones that make fun of you when they go through something? Who they come ask for prayer? That's why our testimony is important. Paul said, you did run well. So they were growing. They were running well. This should warn us, make us aware. Be careful, because you might be running well now, but watch what you believe. Don't let nobody put them cuffs on you again. You're running well serving God. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In verse 14, because I got to be closing up. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what's the law call for? Love. 10 different ways to love. Like I've used it before. It's like candy at Christmas. It's all chocolate candy, the same, but there's red wrappers and green wrappers and yellow gold wrappers. It's all the same. It's chocolate. All the law called for was love. But the problem is, we can't produce that kind of love. You have to have Christ in you, and what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, expressing itself out of you. And I got 1 minute, I want to close with this. In verse 15 and 16, for if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed with one another. See, we're a grace church, right? Praise God. But if you don't watch, if you allow Satan through legalism or even unforgiveness, because that's a form of legalism, right? You got to do what I want for me to love you, for me to accept you. We can devour each other. See, we need to love each other and we need to accept each other. And, you know, if something's wrong in somebody's life, you go there and share with them. If somebody's fallen, you are spiritual, go to restore them, but watch you don't fall. That means I go there humbly, that I could do what they're doing, except by the grace of God I haven't. You know? And he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. God's got something better today. Under grace, it's walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. We don't need the law. The law was outward that told you what to do. Now we have Christ inward and causing us to do. So I'm right on time. See, grace teaches you to do the right thing, right? Because the pastor ain't here, and I remember that one time he's in the back going, first he's walking back and forth. I thought I had till 1:45, and it's only 10:30 that day. So, see, I could go over. Pastor ain't here. Nah, 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 nah. But I won't, because of grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. Lord, none of us would have a chance. We couldn't serve you without your grace, God. Thank you for dealing with all of our sins on the cross, the sins from the day we were born, and even today's sins, tomorrow's sins, and every sin till the day we die. You took, and Christ has already paid for it, so you'll never hold them against us. You poured out your wrath on Him. I pray, Father, if there's someone here who's never trusted in You, maybe it's because they've heard you got to quit doing everything, you got to commit your life to the Lord, repent and quit doing everything before you can be saved. May Your Holy Spirit illumine their mind, take the veil of the law away from before their eyes, that they can see it's just believing Christ died for my sins, that it was their sins on the cross He was paying for, not His own. And they will be eternally saved. Your Spirit will come and give them the life of Christ. And Father, I pray also for the service right after our fellowship break. May Your Holy Spirit powerfully work in us, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So go get you some donuts, unless you're on a diet.